Well, good morning. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. We read the words of the Lord Jesus, teaching us how to pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now this is known as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. Perhaps it would be more properly called the disciples' prayer. This isn't a prayer that Jesus himself could have prayed, because of course we know that the Savior was without sin. So he did not require forgiveness for sin, because he himself was the holy, spotless Son of God. Now this model prayer is given as sort of a template, a pattern by which we might pray. Jesus didn't say, repeat after me. He said in this manner, therefore, pray. Gives us an idea of what the content of our prayers ought to be. Now praying it quickly or repetitiously does not have much, if any, value. We read a couple verses before, it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So he prefaces the prayer by actually saying, when you pray, don't say the same things over and over again. Jesus isn't giving us a magical formula, you know, how we can sort of rub the genie bottle and get God to do what we want. He's giving us guidelines. Of course, praying these words can have much value. I mean, after all, they are scripture. They're God-given. But it's very important that if we do pray these words, or we do think of these words when we do pray, that we meditate on them as well. That they serve to sort of center our prayer life. Now let us now look into this prayer, that we might learn some of the things that might help us as we pray. What are some of the principles that Jesus is bringing out here as he instructs his disciples of all ages as to how to pray? First, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Now this would have been revolutionary at the time. Normally, up until this time, people didn't address God as Father. You don't find this kind of thing very often in the Old Testament. But when we address God the Father through the mediatorial work of God the Son, and in the Spirit of God the Holy Spirit, we can address Him as our Father with a childlike trust in the One who loves us perfectly. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Matthew 7 and verse 11. Hallowed be your name. Now, what attitude ought we to approach God with? An attitude of holy awe. Hallowed be your name. And not only an attitude of holy law, but an attitude of humility. The child of God comes seeking God's glory and not our own. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Prayer is not about you and I. Prayer is about Him. When we enter into prayer and we begin to speak to our Father in heaven, this ought to move us from self-reliance to God-reliance. Self-reliance to God-reliance as we enter into the content of our prayer. Your kingdom come. Now one day, His kingdom will indeed come and be known to all men. And we look forward to that day. We have nothing to fear. The Christian has nothing to fear, for we are His. But the primary focus of this phrase, your kingdom come, and in our prayer, is the spiritual kingdom that is here now. You see, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, if you've gained entrance through the door, Christ Jesus, by accepting that gracious offer of salvation that He has given, that spiritual kingdom exists within your heart, here and now. So we can look at this petition, your kingdom come, as one of personal holiness. Let your light, God, be evident in my life today. Let your kingdom be seen by men and women as I go throughout the day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your will be done. Your will be done. That is, I surrender my own will in order that your perfect will and plans be accomplished. The reason we would pray, your will be done, is because God's will isn't always done on this earth. His perfect will, if you will. We're always getting in the way. So we say, your will be done. Not my will today, God. Your will be done. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The opposite of this is one who prays according to his own will, without humble submission, and does not really ever seem to have prayer answered. Of such a one, the book says, you ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss. You're not in God's will when you're praying these things, and therefore your prayers are not answered. On earth as it is in heaven, a wonderful phrase here, speaks of obedience to the Lord of the universe. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Now up in heaven, what's going on? Do the holy angels obey God's every command? Well, sure they do, because you see, the disobedient ones have been cast out. They're somewhere floating around, hanging out with Lucifer, doing whatever it is they do. But in heaven, you see, God's will is done. Now the angels accept His sovereignty, and they do His word in heaven. There are no mishaps. The angels aren't up there doing their own thing. When God says, come here, or go to such and such a place, or go minister to such and such a person, The angels don't say, no thanks, I'm a little tired today. Sorry, God. Try again, maybe tomorrow. Yeah, but we do. Don't we? From time to time. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only is this a prayer of surrender of our own will, but we're actually asking God to help us to obey, to help us to get off of our page and onto His, as it were. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread, right? This is something that we need. Basic needs. Pray for needs, not wants. Recognize that God is the provider and sustainer of all things. There aren't many of us in this country who have to worry so much about the daily food needs being met. Even those who don't have a place to call home have places that they can go where their daily needs will be met by the grace of God. But the fact that any of us have any of our needs met is by the grace of God who sustains all things. See, Jesus also said, I am the bread of life. And so we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. Give us Jesus today. Because we're not going to be able to function spiritually without Him. Remember the words of Job, who said, I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. It was more important to Job that God's words be in his heart when he woke up in the morning than that there was breakfast on the table. In good times and in bad. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We recognize that we need forgiveness. And so we go to God for cleansing. God provides a remedy from our sorry condition. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in doing so, put a qualification on that if you dare. As we forgive our debtors. Because you see, if we're not offering forgiveness to others on this earth, how then are we in God's will? Are we really serious about saying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? If we've already withheld a portion of our will, if there's already an area which we're holding back from God. So when you pray, think about it. Is there an area that you're holding back from God today? How serious are you in your petition? How serious are you about surrendering your will to His? Remember the unforgiving servant in the 18th chapter of Matthew? The guy who owes an exorbitant sum to his master, like, you might say like $1 trillion, right? Now I owe $1 trillion to the Lord of the universe, right? A debt that I could never pay myself. And yet, The Lord forgave that. What amazing love is this? We could never pay our own debt, but yet God Himself paid it for us. He paid that ransom price on that tree, that fateful day at Calvary. But yet, maybe, I think, my wife owes me an apology. Now, chances are I owe her an apology for being such a fool. But I think in my mind that my wife owes me an apology. And there I am saying, I will not forgive you, dear wife, because you owe me an apology, which amounts to, let's say, 10 bucks. The Lord's forgiven us all our apologies and that vast sum that He's forgiven us. But do you withhold forgiveness from somebody else? And it's no accident that I chose to use the marital relationship as an analogy, because we tend to withhold forgiveness the most from those we love the most. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We pray that we might be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit against the devil and his agents, right? All of those angels who are not in heaven, because if they were, they'd be saying, I'm doing my own thing. So they're out here floating around, creating problems. Our own sinfulness, we pray that we might be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that our own sin might not draw us way out into left field someplace. And the sinfulness of the world in which we live. God has promised to give us the remedy through the temptation. We pray that He'll help us find it. He's not going to tempt us beyond what we're able, but we still need His help when the temptation comes. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We pray believing that God is sovereign, that God is in charge. We pray that God is powerful, for nothing is impossible with God. No prayer is beyond His ability to answer it. And we pray that God will be glorified. We do not always see how in the situation, but He Himself has said, I will be glorified. And He chooses to work through sinful human beings such as you and I, that His glory might be accomplished. Now, we don't always understand it, but we can mark it down. He will be glorified. And someday, friends, you and I will be where He is, glorified after the manner that He Himself has been glorified. When our soul is reunited to body, we'll understand much more fully what this means. But for now, we've got to trust Him. We've got to trust Him. And this brings us to that last little word, amen. What does amen mean? Many times we just throw it on at the end of the prayer without even thinking about what it means. It means, so be it. So be it. Let it be. We're going to finish our time with the Lord our God in prayer by saying, so be it. Let it be. Now, I've petitioned you, Heavenly Father, for these things. And I'm really going to place all these things in your hands, knowing that the Lord has promised, Isaiah 65:24, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Now that was spoken in a particular context, but that's a timeless promise of our God. While we are still speaking, He will hear. Now what are the benefits of praying after this manner? Peace. Peace. Because now that we've left these things in the hands of Almighty God, for His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we've said, Your will be done. We don't have to fight anymore. We don't need to worry about whether God has heard our petition or not. We don't need to take up our will and go out and fix the thing. We simply need to walk in the plan of God that He has for us aforehand. Prayer that will be answered. Here's one that will be answered. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God will certainly always hear that prayer. That prayer of humility, that prayer of submission. And this is the bottom line with prayer. God doesn't need our prayers so that He can be 100% God. It's not as if He's 99% and we've got to pray a few times to get Him to the 100. God is already perfectly fulfilled. But we need that prayer, that we might grow in relationship with Him and that we might learn submission to the God of the universe. And as we build that relationship, as we begin to learn submission, we'll find peace for the journey. Who has the greatest relationship with God? The ones who get to know Him. Who do you have the greatest relationship with, humanly speaking? The people in your home, the people that you speak with day by day, the people that you spend the most time with. Go forth in prayer and learn peace. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we pray, that we remember these things, that we learn submission and humility and find rest and peace for our weary souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.